is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
It is Friday, the 25th of June, 2021, and you are tuned in to 96.9 Guardian Radio, fresh news, smart talk all day. And you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And since it's Friday, today is another Culture Friday. And my guest today is Mr. Renbert Mortimer II. Good morning, Mr. Mortimer.
Good morning.
How you do?
I'm well.
All right. So Mr. Mortimer is sitting in studio with me as I go through my morning housekeeping. First up, the Small Business Tax Concession and Relief Program. To level the playing field, Accelerate Bahamas provides small and medium-sized Bahamian businesses access to tax incentives like foreign investors currently have, including new duty-free concessions to help start or expand small businesses. This message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. Well, good morning. Let me tell you all something. I am in a great mood. I am feeling fancy. As I told you all, I had in my possession a couple Bombay mangoes. If you don't know what a Bombay mango is, it's an East Indian mango. And it is very common in Jamaica and in a couple other Caribbean countries, right? But it is a thing of joy, a thing to be revered. And the thing about the Bombay is you don't cut it like we normally cut our mangoes. You have to cut it around the center, and then you twist it, and you turn it and pop it in half. And then you take a spoon, and you scoop the flesh out. Let me tell you all something. I feel fancy. I feel fancy like I have husband and children. I feel fancy like I is flying private jet. And all from one little fruit, you know. One little fruit just growing right here. I hope you guys got the tips I shared with you yesterday about mango, ways to preserve it, various products you could make with it. Different methods of preservation, freezer, dry method, infusing in rum or in salt, all kinds of things. Before we get going, I want to just touch on a couple of other things. Agricultural theft. And more we talk about it, I don't know if it's increasing or we're just highlighting more and more cases and people and farmers feel more confident sharing their experiences with agricultural theft. This week, I saw a video of a man and woman who were captured by a neighbor stealing coconuts from somebody's yard. Now, people on the thread, on the Facebook thread, thought that stealing was a very strong word, right, to use in this instance. Like some people thought, well, maybe those people have permission from the owner and the neighbor is unaware. But since the people couldn't call the neighbor's name and you know, the owner's name and cuss at the neighbor who was trying to make sure that the property was secure, I don't think they had permission from the neighbor. Other people on the thread thought that stealing was too strong of a word because they didn't consider going onto somebody's property without permission and taking their coconuts without permission. They didn't think that that was stealing, right? And thus, application of the wrong word. And it made me think, what world are those people living in? Because they're living in a different world from you and I, right? There are a number of people on that thread that didn't think that what that young man and that young woman were doing was illegal. They didn't think it was a crime. So what world do they live in where going onto somebody's property without their permission and taking their coconuts without their permission is not stealing? I had to pause for a second because you know what? The truth is they do live in a different world from me. I've never ever once had to think about what I was going to eat as my next meal. I'd never ever once had to think about whether the light bill would be paid or not, whether the power, well, we all think about whether the power is going to be on. That's really BPLBEC's fault. But the only reason the power wouldn't be on is because of an outage or because somebody forgot to pay the bill, not that they couldn't pay it. Right? So I realized that I do live in a different world from many of these people. Now, a lot of people are going to call, text in and say, oh, Aaron, you making excuses for poor behavior. You making excuses for criminality. Ray, Ray, Ray. I'm not really making excuses for it. I just want to see it. Like, I want to understand why and where, right? And the truth is, a lot of us don't get it. We're all on the same plantation, but we're living entirely different lives. And before we could find solutions to our problems, we need to understand, right? We need to be able to practice empathy and mindfulness and understand the lived experiences of others. Because if you ain't never, ever, ever in your life worried about where you're going to eat next, where you're going to sleep, how you're going to feed your children, then you don't understand the lived experiences, the lives of most of the people in this country right now. Yesterday, we're talking about rites of passage. And after the show, I saw a video of what appeared to be a burial ceremony at Lakeview Memorial Gardens. I think that's what the cemetery by the lake is called. And the video shows participants, I guess, people come to participate in this burial, breaking through the gates of the graveyard, right? After they would have hit their limit and security was required to close it to follow the COVID protocols. I thought that was interesting. And the first thing that came to my mind was, these people living in a completely and totally different world from me. And it's cool, you know. I ain't dissing. It's not a judgment, you know. It's just like an observation. And I thought to myself, but guess what? This rite of burial, that's what it is, right? It's a rite of burial.
Entitlement, yeah.
This rite of burial is important to people. And why am I mad that this generation of people insist on maintaining what they think is a very important right? Maybe in their world, this is your recognition, right? Maybe in their world, that's how they value each other. In the midst of a society that refuses to find value in them. Right? But that's their business. Now, I mean, a little bit of it is my business, too, because we all live in the same world, right? We all live on the same plantation, even though we live in very different lives. We got to figure out how we're going to live with each other. Now, you see, that's a little story about some people we're going to presume to be gangsters or, you know, people engaged in antisocial behavior. But quickly, I can talk about another group of people that seem to be living in a different world, from me at least. This morning on the way into work, I watched two prominent tour company vehicles boldly and clearly run the red light at Cumberland Street. You know, Cumberland Street, that's that place where we had a very bad traffic fatality the other day. If you don't know what a traffic fatality is, that's an accident where somebody dies, right? We had one of those on Cumberland Street. Yet people insist, continue to run the red light and ignore the traffic controls there. So when I tell you I watched at least three cars in one cycle and four cars in the cycle coming over Blue Hill Road run the light, believe me. But to run the light at Cumberland Street, such a prominent place, right? The Government House, Gray Cliff, the Hilton.
That's a dangerous light. I ain't gonna lie. I know that light. That light switched fast too.
Right, this morning it was switching, so a lot of people got caught unawares as they were speeding over Blue Hill Road, thinking that they would have sufficient time to run the red light safely. See, these are people who live in a different world from me, because there's no such thing as running a red light safely. But some of us have convinced ourselves that this is a thing. And we've convinced ourselves, some of us, that we're better than these people we like to call gangsters, right? Mm-hmm. And no good. And all of the words that people apply to those people who rushed in through the graveyard gates yesterday. But never do we stop to think about the others amongst us. But y'all don't live in the same world as I do, because I don't live in a world where people wantonly... That's like, you just do it because you can. Ain't nobody could stop you. Run red lights, force my way into people's right of way. See, there's a big connection between the driving culture in this country, the bully culture in this country, the rape culture in this country. Right? Those same young men that could pull a gun on a woman and drag her into the bush are the same men that could get ropes and tie nooses around young men's necks, are the same men who in their company vehicles or in their red plates or in their black and white plates can blatantly break the traffic controls, do foolish things like turning right on red on a blind intersection? Come on, man. People.
It's a lot, man.
We got to do better than this. Yeah. But the first step is in recognizing how our thinking shapes the world around us, how it informs our behavior, how it informs our actions. Let's stop blaming other people for behavior that we are also complicit in. And I'm talking to myself too. It's a lesson I have to remind myself of too, all the time.
Amen.
Anyway, I did run on a little bit because it's Friday. That means it's Culture Friday. That means it's time for the weekend. But as responsible adults, before we enter the weekend, we got to prepare for it. I see I got a caller on the line, Kermit. Let's get to that caller. Good morning, caller. How are you?
Good morning, Ms. Aaron Green.
How you do?
Marky here. Now, if I just thought I'd call in early and be a bucket mouth before some of your favorite people come in and hog up all the 30 seconds.
Yes, sir.
I heard you and your farmer the other day talking about them Mangola and things.
Yes, sir.
I heard him talking, but that's a tricky way. I didn't find that out a long time ago on YouTube, but splitting the seed, what we thought was the seed, when we eat all the doggone sweet stuff off, we just think that piece there was the seed.
Yeah.
I call that the nut.
Uh-huh.
But the seed is inside that.
There you go.
And you got to know how to be very careful about splitting that and cutting that, because you don't want to cut the seed inside.
Right.
And damage that. And then I learned a long time ago about washing that off after you take the little shuck inside off, like the little red piece in the peanut, you take that off before you eat the actual peanut. And the actual peanut is what you plant, not the nut.
Yeah.
Not the whole peanut, but you could do it that way, but take longer. But I've learned, but washing it also in the water mix with hydrogen peroxide.
Okay.
And then I heard him talking yesterday, but if the plant comes within a week or two, if it come out with three leaves, you got the exact tree, and if it come out with two leaves, you got the clone.
Okay.
Let me tell you something, Miss Gyal, from down in the bottom in the ghetto. Mm-hmm. I've been going through a mango diet because my mango tree, what the neighbors say raid me, my friends carry, but I had mine stashed aside.
Yes, sir.
And after that, I've been splitting seeds and planting seeds in my new Miracle Grow soil.
Yes.
And let me tell you something, I done got about 10 mango seed done catch. Done up about 5 inches tall, and guess what? All my leaves came out 3 shoots on the first shoot. So I must get the exactly.
I hope so.
Like the man say. So instead of going up the road there, you know where them people just go to buy them things on Saturday morning for $69?
Yeah.
I could be selling my Angola for $10 and $15.
There you go.
And guarantee you, stick that in your yard, and within 2 years, you ain't got to go to the market to buy no mango.
Absolutely.
You go out in your yard and you eat your own mango and maybe sell a couple.
Right, and contribute to a mango co-op that can serve our tourism industry.
And also a green society, because, you know, when you plant these nice trees in the yard, they give off carbon and oxygen different times of the day.
Right. And
the more we plant trees, and especially things which you can eat, and stop paving your whole yard with concrete and tar. You could grow things other than doggone crabgrass and bougainvillea and rose, which you can't smell and you can't sell,
right,
or you can't smoke. And you could go and pick your soursop and your mango and your banana and things. But it's hard to tell Bahamians to plant things, you know. But Miss Gray, don't lie, though. They will come to your gate and ask you if you can have some of your mango, though, right?
Absolutely.
But they won't plant none.
Well, and it's complicated, you know.
And before I go, last thing I want to see, but this thing I see down in the graveyard the other day, I had friends from, Bahamian friends from Houston, Texas, message me last night, say that virus, that all down in Houston, they want to know what the Bahamian people doing in the pandemic. I say, the Bahamian people doing exactly what they see and the leaders do. The leaders, them breaking the law, so the people breaking the law. Have a good day.
Thank you, Sparky. But I tell you what. Here's what's happened. As a collective, we have not, during this pandemic, created a space for people to talk about the one thing that is not just inevitable all the time, but the one thing that is driving our response to the pandemic, which is death, right? Initially, our policies, all the policies were derived and determined based on our concern for the potential loss of life. But in this whole pandemic, the state has not facilitated, initiated, or created a specific space for a collective national discourse on death, the process of death, how we will collectively deal with death. And I could be honest with you, after Dorian and the response, which borders on illegal and criminal, after the state's response to Dorian, right, and our societal response to Dorian, which also borders on criminal in terms of the way that we reconciled and dealt with the deaths that occurred in Abaco and Grand Bahama, the impact that that has had on the lives of those that experienced the storm and survived it, the lives of the loved ones of those who were lost, right? There has been no real reconciling with the most central issue in this pandemic, which is death and the unexpected loss of life. Right? This society ain't all what it's shaped up to be, you know. Plenty of us around here in the emperor's new clothes, getting mad at people when they tell you you're naked. But we haven't done that most important thing. All this talk about we a Christian nation, and in fact, there's a letter to the editor in here, but some Christian people demanding the flag come down because of the sanctity of this Christian nation and all of these things we believe. We don't believe in them. We don't care about death. Is it the sacrament of burial? We don't care about the lives of the people left behind. We didn't care about the lives of the people when they was alive. And now we want to go turn around and hang all our shame on these people who rush the graveyard gates to go bury their person, their people, their friend, their heart, their community member. Does it matter that they from a community that you don't care about? That you have no regard for? Yeah, were those people, were they doing reckless? You know what? I mean, in terms of their health, in terms of the risk of passing the virus on between them, yeah, they took some big chances. Is it any bigger than any other chance they have to take in their life every day? Is it? Is it worse than the lives that they're condemned to live because the parents didn't care enough about them to pay attention in school? Oh, your parents didn't care enough about you to migrate the right way. For many of them, we've already told them their lives are disposable. And now we want them to be available for us to dump our shame on them. Well, I say no. No. There's plenty for us to be ashamed for. Hold your shame yourself. Let them poor young people live. This is all we have is life and death. And you don't care about their lives, and you don't care about their deaths. Just go eat a mango and go love yourself. Got some texts here. First text, man, Aaron, I thought you went to say Renwood Wells. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, man, Renbert Mortimer. Man.
That's right. Hello, I believe Renwood Wells is a cool guy, you know, but this is Mr. Renbert Mortimer II, teacher, author, creative, and activist.
Invisible, man, invisible.
Another text. I wonder if these same drivers run the red lights when they visit the U.S. No, they are afraid of jail in the U.S. Good morning, Aaron. Please help. Okay. All right, texter. I will take that text down, and I will get back to you. Oh, thank you, texter. Great show, as usual. Did you hear about the lady in Florida who found $1 billion on her bank account and had problems returning it? You know that would never happen in the Bahamas because no one trying to return the money. I had a problem with a hairy mango. A hairy mango swing me out of $850 the other day. So now I like the mango, but not the hairy mango. True story. Dear person, I wish I had not read your text. How could you let somebody swing you out of $850? I wish I had $850 to throw away. Aaron, the Fourth Estate is also part of this discussion on death. We have an over-reliance on governments, and as a collective, we can change and help if we think that way. The defiance displayed by those at the graveyard is just many Bahamians becoming lawless, and a lot have to do with their upbringing, not just government's failures. See, it's not about government's failures, right? That's not what it is, and I don't think that's what Sparky was saying either. Right? First of all, there's a massive trust deficit. Because while we are fallible, right, and we know that we are sinners, we expect the government to operate at a higher standard. And even though they are Bahamians like us, ordinary people, they have volunteered to take on a role in society that requires a higher standard than the ordinary person. Right? And so people continuously watch politicians break the laws and get away with it from simple and mundane things like the Public Disclosure Act to bigger things that I'm not allowed to talk about on the radio and still get away with it. We know about the sexual impropriety. We know about the petty theft. We know about the grand larceny. Right? We know about all the things. Nothing is done about it. And so Bahamians eventually give up on trying to follow the rules, and they fit in where they could get, right? They get in where they could fit in. That's, I mean, but the government sets a standard. And in many instances, they provide oversight for industries or oversight for regulatory mechanisms for industries, right? So they have a moral duty. In some instances, they have a legal duty. In some instances, it's just an ethical duty to perform at a higher standard. And people watch that and see that the political class continues to show us that the way to win is to not care about the rules. In fact, I said it the other day, and I'm only going to say it one more time, in life on this show. There's one thing that runs this country. We know what it is. It's not respect for the rule of law, and it's not respect for the law or the courts, or the church, or each other. It's one thing. And y'all know what it is. Kermit, it's time to go to a break. When we get back from this break, we're going to have a wonderful conversation with Mr. Renwood Mortimer II.
Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock that's up for two. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell below. Knock it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. You're tuned in to 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. Welcome back. Oh, I love that music. I love, especially on a Friday. I got another text here, but some of these same Bahamians excuse anything governments do as long as it's their government. Lining their pockets. That's why the PLP cannot get my vote. They are hypocrites. Ah, my dear PLP, look at that vote you lost. Don't worry, it's a political culture thing. If we all take that standard, there's plenty of parties who shouldn't be getting any votes this year. Listen, hairy mangoes are the best mangoes out there. Pound for pound. Flavor for value. You can't beat it. Let's not have any class wars out here. Let's not be creating this tension amongst the mangoes. It is unfair and unnecessary. I say thank you to my texters this morning. Good morning, Mr. Renwood Mortimer II. How are you?
I am well, man. You could just call me Ren. I know that's a mouthful. Just Ren. R-E-N.
Ren?
Ren. Ren is your friend. Tell Ian.
All right. No, see, that's cool. I didn't mind calling your full name, right? Because I think there's so much power in a name. In fact, this morning I had decided I was going to change my name. But I don't know the name of the boy that put the poles in Dorchester Street, the Chinese strike close off the road.
Right.
I don't know that by name, but that's who I wanted to be today. This boy have fortitude to go and close off a whole Bahamian road without the government permission.
Well, you're right with names. I have my dad's name, the exact same name as my dad. So he's Renwood Mortimer I. It carries weight, you know. We're both Sockers, so people who graduate with him, oh, Lord, yeah, I twitch when I say that. That's your business. Anyway, but even in the artist world, man, I've been doing a lot of stuff for creativity in the schools.
Yeah.
And many times I go to art teachers, and they, like, run to the front because they're like, oh, Renwood Mortimer here? Because they would tell me my daddy was a visual artist, you know. He was doing a lot of great things back in the day. So I actually have succeeded both of my mom and my dad through my name. And I understand that statement you're saying of the power of the name. If only we all knew our fathers, right?
Right. Well, hey, this is it. It's a big, look here, it's men's mental health. It's Men's Health Month.
Amen.
But it's a big thing.
Yeah.
If men knew their fathers.
Yeah, man.
How different they may feel about their lives. Yeah. And what a beautiful thing that is. All right. So I'm going to ask you, where did your art journey begin? But I see it possibly began right in the womb.
Right from the womb. I've never drawn with my dad to say I've never been taught by him.
Okay.
But I have had great teachers. I went to Our Lady's Primary. I went to St. Augustine's College, like I mentioned. So when I was in school, I had the basics.
Okay.
And from those basics, coupled with the talent my dad naturally gave, and I watched him because he did a lot of backdrops, he did a lot of painting, then birth a desire. But when it comes to my expertise, which is caricatures, that came from, again, the influence of my parents.
Now, tell us, what is a caricature?
Oh, you said it right. I like you already. So a caricature, and mind you, I have phonetic challenges. You know, I always am surprised I could say this word. But a caricature is, think of an exaggerated expression, right, of anyone. So people think of it as you making my nose big, you making my eyes big, making my teeth too big, fix it up, I want to look like what they say, portrait.
Right.
But it's not a portrait, it's a caricature. So one way that I'm a part of the International Society of Caricature Artists, right? We go off in November, actually, to compete. So I go to see if I can win some more awards for the Bahamas.
Right, so pause right there. Hear what everybody say? Win some more awards.
Yeah.
World's fastest artist?
2017, yeah.
2017.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, listen, what type of artist? Because I am the world's fastest scam artist, right?
So the competition is 5 days locked in a hotel drawing. You can't, other than studio pieces, you can't just bring work there and say, oh, I drew you, but then you draw them at home. You have to draw live. So the speed competition is very fun. So what they do is you line up and you have other artists that are there. You've never drawn them before. Some of them you're just meeting. And they just say, go. And you just draw as much people as you can. I drew a total of 27 people in 5 minutes. My hands were hurting. My back was aching. I looked at the work, but it became a full... It was a resolve that I couldn't believe. Because I work for the airport. Shout outs to NAD and LPAIA, right? I worked for NAD and LPIA for about 4 to 5 years on a contract. One thing that prepared me to become world's fastest is when you're in front of a guest who is tipping you and they say, my plane is about to leave. You speed up and you just, okay, let me knock out the family. Da da da, da 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 da. Let me add some color, let me add some color. Da, da, da. Okay, go. Hey, nice to meet you. They drop an extra 50. It's a good day.
You used to work for Bahamas Air?
No. I work in the actual airport.
That's what I'm saying, but you used to.
No, I never worked for the airline. Okay. I worked for not the Nassau, what is it? Nassau Airport Development Company.
Yeah.
The one oversighting.
Yeah.
I work with them. With their marketing department. And what we did alongside a good friend of mine, Bridget Flowers, is we gave gifts to the tourists. So when they're in the airport and they're chilling waiting for the flight, they'll get a free caricature, they'll get some cake, maybe some drinks by somebody mixologist, they'll get a hand painting, stuff that made them laugh, maybe a little photo.
Yeah.
So it's a part of tourism. So I've been in tourism both in the hotel and outside the hotel for about a decade now.
Yeah, because, I mean, Bahamas Air flight could be late.
Yeah, that's cool.
But they get you there.
When the agent's passing and they have time, they used to stop and get draw too. I draw on people and
you better.
Air, I draw JetBlue.
Yeah, you better. I look at how I have to change my name to Aaron. I ain't never been here before. To get myself a caricature.
Yeah. But back to the definition.
I don't want
the audience not know what it is. Think of it as this. Remember the story, this is how I remember it. Aliens have taken over the world and they see all us humans as looking alike. So they've hired a special group of artists to help them understand the differences between people. So all we do is see the difference between you and the next person and exaggerate it so that the aliens can understand who you are.
And I'd like to think of it as if you have identified my best feature and have exaggerated. So I have my best feature is my small peanut head.
No, I love your eyes, actually. If I was to draw you, it'd be your eyes.
Look at this, but you're missing out, though.
No, it's your eyes and your hair. I'm sorry. The smile good, too.
Yeah, but this small peanut head is winning it.
No,
yeah. And I want you to exaggerate that.
I see a peanut right there. Gosh. Maybe almond. Maybe the nut inside the mango with a little whopping cheese. Yeah. By shape. I don't know. But ultimately, that's all it is. It's finding out. And this is the key, I guess, a first nugget for anybody who's an artist or anybody listening who's a creative. Never let people define who you are. Mm-hmm. Because I had to travel to an international society, be around peers from around the world. You're talking about, I think it's 42 nations that year, around the world. And we are honestly friends. Some people don't even speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And we're friends. So they defined what caricatures was for me, and now I'm giving you that definition.
Absolutely. So I have a text here. To my texter, I'm not sure who is operating the camera on the Guardian Radio app, but if you tune into my Facebook feed, I will turn my camera around so you can see the guests this morning, if you don't mind. Once the camera ain't pointing at me, right? Because I ain't.
I think this one is pointing at me.
Right, and that one's, I ain't made up for TV.
Yeah, that's cool. But it's ultimately a fun process to keep teaching people, to keep learning more about the arts.
And I think it's a caricature is an important thing. Like we talk about rites of passage, right?
Right, right.
As you mature, you need to see a caricature of yourself.
Yeah.
And you should be, you need the experience of seeing what people see in you. What elements of yourself other people think are exaggerated or are your best features, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it could be, I wouldn't say like therapeutic, but in the sense that it can be a great emotional and psychological learning process
mm-hmm.
to have a caricature done. And then to sit down and assess it.
You hit it at the, and mind you, my background is psychology, right?
Yeah.
So being psychologically backgrounded, I've seen people in my chair and I'm like, you need counseling. I kind of recommend it softly. I remember one lady, I always use this one story, but when I first started, I was drawing caricatures for free on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
So anybody who messaged me on Facebook, they'll send me a picture, I send them back a
caricature. I remember that.
So I had humble beginnings. I was making no money, but I just loved to draw. And I drew this evangelist. I can't remember her name. But when I drew the picture of her and I sent it to her, she said, I showed it to my family. I showed it to my dad, who's a pastor. And we all agree that there's a demon in your eye. And we want to rebuke that demon because this doesn't look like me. It looks nothing like me. You need to stop drawing. And I always repeat the story because I was actually in a state of depression when she said this. So it really sticked. And she was just like, you need to stop drawing. You're not going to make it. And maybe we could pray away this demon. And all I said to her, being sarcastic but true to myself, is it was a free drawing. If you didn't like it, you just could have thrown it away.
Yeah.
But that comes back to a lot of artists that I meet. They haven't been through the processes, right, of their creativities. They haven't been challenged. If anything, I think most people in general want something, you know, behemoths you wanted to be given.
Yeah.
They don't want to work for it. I work for the University of the Bahamas right now, right? PR and branding.
Yeah.
I developed the mascot. There's a long story before you get there.
Yeah.
Because a mascot is only a caricature of something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Yeah. I was about to say, it's time to take a break, Kermit. Great. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about the birth of Mingo.
There we go.
The mascot for UB.
All right.
Absolutely. Cool. We will be right back after this short break. So stay tuned to 96.9 FM.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021, for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The ones that don't fall to, the count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell the law. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
Crystal Cruises is setting sail for the Bahamas once again. Crystal will follow the strictest safety protocols as guests travel to Exuma, San Salvador, Long Island, and more. With a commitment to keep communities and guests safe and protect the environment, Crystal's decision to homeport in the Bahamas will boost tourism and support the local economy. Learn more at crystalcruises.com.
Good morning, and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. It's Friday, 25th of June, 2021. We're just about to close out our Culture Friday segment today. If you want to join the conversation, you can text us on the Guardian Radio text line, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. Or you could call us at 323-6232. 325-4316 or 325-4259. And if you missed a show, because you're always on the go, or if you missed the first half of this show, you can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to www.guardiantalkradio.com and checking the podcasts tab. Guardian Radio continuing to provide you fresh news and smart talk anytime, anywhere, all day. I see we have a caller on the line, Kermit. Let's get to that caller quickly. Hey, good morning, caller. How you doing?
Rocking along with you and your guest, Erin.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank God for life. I have a question for the gentleman, but first I want to ask you.
Yes.
May I change your name to Pretty Eyes?
Listen, Brayman, first of all, you can't change my name to Pretty Eyes.
Okay.
Because,
No.
I was just thinking, I am in a long line of pretty-eyed people, and you can't put me at the top of the list.
Well, suppose I desire to.
Well, you could do whatever you want, Brayman. You call me pretty. You call me Erin Pretty Eyes Green.
Okay.
That's going to mess up my fruit procurement and teeth in business. You really could put a spoke in my wheel, but do it. Why not?
Okay, wonderful.
Absolutely.
Erin Pretty Eyes Green.
Why not?
Pretty Eyes Green.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a great day, Brayman.
You're the same.
Yes, sir.
Now, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, what's your name again?
Ren. Just Ren. R-E-N. Ren Burt, Monomoy, but Ren.
Ren. Okay, let me ask you something. Now, when you had threw the lady and sent it to her, right?
Yes, sir.
So the portrait to her. When she told you that you the negative thoughts in which she granted you of the picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you improve on the situation because of that? Improve in drawing it because of that?
No, sir. The style I drew her with, I still drew with that same style for about 2 to 3 more years. Since then, that style has only changed because of my exposure. So I've been to Disney with Paris. I've been to Canada with Paris. I've learned from people from
style.
Japan.
I mean, just improve generally.
Yeah, man. I could say with confidence. Shout outs to every caricature, Willard, Jamal, Stan Burnside, Eddie Menace. I can say with confidence I probably may be the best caricature artist on this island right now.
Okay,
if there's
thank
somebody
you.
Who's better, tell them, let's go talk. Let's do this.
Continue doing well.
Thank you, man.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and I think the critique that was given by the recipient of the picture was off base, right?
It
like
was.
they don't understand
to be,
caricature.
To be straight to the point.
Yeah.
She was unqualified to qualify
to make,
me.
Right, to make that type
like,
of
like, can
critique.
She draw? Can she do caricatures? Because I went, Dave Smith is the person who drew me as a caricature, right?
Yeah.
I said my parents had influence. So I was one or two, and my parents carried me to one of the theme parks in Florida. Dave Smith draws me, and that drawing stood in my room and just hung up for literally 13 years. And every day I saw it, I thought, I want to be this guy. I want to do this. When I met Dave Smith, do you know who he is? He's the first ever world-renowned class Nosy Award. A Nosy Award is the highest caricature award you could ever get.
Yeah.
They use his nose to model the award as a joke. Because we're all fun-loving,
right?
Right. But the guy who drew me as a kid still becomes like a father figure in me and helping me how to get better. I asked him, paid $4,000 for the conference to go over there. I said, how do I become better as an artist? You know what he said? Draw, draw, draw. So to his question, it was nothing wrong with what I did. I did something with a positive attitude. I gave it out for free, and it was my expression. When people react negatively to your caricatures, my artists, who I train, most of them had social anxiety or social problems or personality disorders, right? And when I started the U program, you know what I did to break that? I carried them out doing caricatures. And they drew their first caricature, and
because
you know,
it's such an intimate process, right?
They learned how to be business people.
Right, and in that space. Because to have a picture drawn of you, you have to sit. And sitting isn't just being in a chair. It's a process of opening up and being vulnerable and allowing your sort of self to expose itself.
Let's discuss the psychology of the process.
Right.
The first step is the introduction, right? That's marketing. That's customer service. So they introduce themselves. And many of the artists who I work with, some can't do that.
Right.
So while I'm having people line up and my other artists have people, that person wouldn't have nobody to draw. He would go through that for, like, let's say 6 weeks, and then eventually he'll come to me like, Mr. Mortimer, what am I doing wrong? I said, well, smile. People come when you invite them.
Right, because it's such an intimate process.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you are a shop attendant.
Right.
Right, where technically whether you smile or not doesn't determine my need for the things in your store.
Right.
But whether I'm going to be willing to open myself up to you.
And let's talk about that too.
Right.
Bad customer service in the Bahamas. Many times your employees are not engaged. My background being industrial organizational, which talks about customer satisfaction and job satisfaction, we have many people who are in the wrong field. Yeah, they want to make money, but you're in the wrong job.
Listen, I need you to understand. Okay, first of all, where do you teach?
I volunteer. Okay. I don't ever charge for motivational speeches or for teaching. That's my time, my contribution.
Okay, so you teach art.
So I've helped, art. I helped at E.P. Roberts this semester. Last semester, it was C.W. Saunders as well. I've taught at the AFI Leader Art Program. Anatole Rogers at one time, and I did a program called The Village.
Okay.
So that's just art teaching.
Right. So I'm not segueing you away. I will bring you right back. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need you to stop all of this arting. And volunteering, because you are an industrial. Tell me again exactly.
My focus is industrial organization. And with BHTA, well, the Bahamas Hotel Tourism Association, we still volunteer our time. So me and my artists and my employees, we talk about customer service. We talk about the hotel industry. I use real world experiences, you know, getting hired from Atlantis. What's the standard? You need to be on time. You need to be dressed. Like, I use my experiences in both realms. I've worked for Atlantis for 5 years, and I've worked as a caricature.
Man, listen, what I'm going to need for you to do, right, is I'm going to need you with the Hotel and Tourism Worker Union, right, and BTVI and UB to set up industrial organizational psychology unit for students leaving high school, going into university, already in the workforce, and help us.
I got peers, man. I made up the experience, but I have a shout out to Katura Babs, right? She's in Freeport.
Hold on, Katura Babs?
Yeah, that's a good friend. She graduated with me. She knows me in class.
Cool.
Yeah, she dead cool, man. But it's so much of my peers who hold ranks in it, right?
Another one, right?
Ms. Sherman with Fusion. Ms. Sherman has a master's in industrial organization. The problem I would say, so we can leave here with some good solutions.
The
problem with this nation is we have people who have flew over, gotten their qualifications, did the research and come back, and they get injected into a system, right, that doesn't allow them to change it. So I'll give one of my lessons I teach in my speeches. This is for you. This is for your audience. You can play a good game of cards until you take the jokers out. Imagine we're around here with some good friends. We're playing a game, just having some fun. Somebody gets a hand, a foot, whatever game we're playing, but let's say the best hand is all aces, right? Every ace inside the hand, they happy, oh, I gonna beat all my friends, I gonna win, whatever, right? And then you hear, oh, we gotta reshuffle. And why do we have to reshuffle? Because somebody drew a joker. The key rule of cards is remove the joker. So the best part of most employees, and shout out to a good friend of mine, Wellington Hepburn, right? A friend and client. He's one of the top HR specialists in the world. We talk all the time, and the number one thing he talks about that I wanna just echo is that we're not changing policies. We inject the perfect person in the job interview, right? They have all the solutions. We're giving them all the scenarios, everything that's wrong with the business. They give us all the solutions. Then we put them in there with the solutions, and then we show them that you can't change it because there are these policies and these niches and these commonplace norms of this workplace that will stop you. So now what you could do, and they just look at you like, oh, I'm a millennial, so what I do in this context is I stay here for 3 months, maybe 3 years, 2 years, and I change jobs.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to change.
Yeah.
And companies around the world are willing to change.
So look here, how am I going to get you to make a caricature of government ministries and departments so they could see the outside world's perspective on them and highlighting the issues that they have?
Well, some have solved it. Come on, let's give it up for the Royal Bahamas Police Force, right? With their new online platform where you can put in for your police record, get it
right.
Well,
yeah.
So some are solving it.
There's been a multi-sector policy shift that impacts a number of departments, and I would say that it's rooted in the Ministry of Finance and the Department of Inland Revenue.
Okay.
But of course, the collection of taxes
will
drive any system to change, right? Like there's death and there's taxes and then there's mango season.
Yeah,
three inevitable.
Yeah, if anybody orders from any one of these, Blue Postal or whatever, you realize that VAT is everywhere. Like you ordered it online, VAT, you get it from Blue Postal, VAT.
Yeah,
you take out the money from the bank to pay for it, VAT.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a lot of VAT.
Right, that's why I don't get sick, because you have to pay VAT on just for being sick, and I can't afford that.
Yeah.
I can't afford that at all. So listen, you are...
That's my nugget for your audience. I don't want to forget
that. Yeah.
Remove the jokers from the deck.
Right.
Don't say you want to be good on social media, but still have an administrative assistant who just sitting there at the desk. Teach the woman how to run your social media page. Free advice.
Right.
Or let us run it for you.
Matt, industrial organizational psychology. Cool. So you're also an author. As we close out the show,
right.
Let's talk about this book that you've written.
Same principle. I was a weight trainer, qualified in by Colorado, Shirley. Sherry? Anyway, she's a good lady, kind of tall lady. She came over with Bahamas Faith Ministries, and they trained a lot of youth workers. DJ Counselor was in my class, actually. Shout out to Corey. And we got trained in what is known as weight training. I have taken that experience. I traveled to the States, to Canada, and to Bahamian Islands. And from 2008, which when I was struggling as a young man.
Now, when you say weight training,
why am I tempted? Like W-A-I-T. That's part of the pitch right there. I want you to fall for that, right? So I literally, from 2008 to 2011, was going around the country and the States and Canada when I went to Brock University, talking about abstinence and how I chose as a Christian to wait until March to have sex. And during that process, I got personal letters from Bahamians, college students, everybody talking about relationships and what they want. My first book is literally a synopsis of a story that I break down in sessions. I did three sessions recently. Shout outs to the teachers at Sandon's Primary, Yellow Elder Primary, and there's another, Therma Gibson Primary. We did a session, it's on my IG, right? And I also did another one for E.P. Roberts last week. I went in there with fourth graders, sixth graders, and we discussed relationships. Why? Because and this is the funny part I want to leave with this, why my book is so important. I've had a personal letter written for me from somebody in Europe who said that they were reading the book and it helped their parents stop going through their divorce. I've had personal letters from children who want to talk about dating and what they're going through. I've had somebody who wanted to break up with their boyfriend 6 years ago just email me and say, Mr. Mortimer, I finally leave him.
Yeah.
And I should have listened to you because I wasted a lot of time.
Yeah.
The concrete lesson of this book is it's stories to stimulate discussions of dating in the Bahamas. We don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of negative people who come with this, I call it a master's degree in advice. Girl, I used to have this man and this is what I do.
Yeah.
Oh, I used to have this boy and this is how we handled it. Boy, I used to have this girl and yeah, we break up, but this is how you...
Yeah. Okay, so listen, we are out of time.
I know we are out of time.
I need you to give the audience your contact information.
My name. Please. My name, you can find it on social media or on Google, Renbert Mortimer. That's Renbert Mortimer. My business number is 825-9390. That's 825-9390. If you get lost, if you cannot find me, call UB. And UB will help you find me because I am a proud Mango. Go Mangoes.
Absolutely. I would like to thank Angelique McKay and Cultural Experience Productions for finding me another phenomenal guest for today. But not just that, another phenomenal Bahamian doing big things, not just
thank
for
you.
Themselves, not just for their personal art, but for their communities and their countries. Hey, this guy, Mr. Mortimer II, thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure.
To my listening audience, thank you so much. I want you guys to have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy this one. Eat as many mangoes as you could find until you get the belly. Come on, you're going to enjoy it. Have a great weekend, Bahamas. Thank you, Kermit. Have a great day.
This
is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.